Blog Talk Radio.
I was walking downtown one day, and I saw a man who appeared to be just an old wino sitting on the street telling the people about Jesus as they passed by. And because he was all raggedy and dirty, people would just laugh and make fun of the old man and walk on by. And he said, because of the way I am, no money, no fancy clothes, fine homes and cars, a lot of people consider me as nothing and say I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's one thing that he said that really touched my heart and stayed on my mind. When that old man looked up and said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. He said, I'm just a nobody.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory be to God. Yes, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm your host, Brother David, and I'd like to welcome you to the Spirit of a Soldier, where we come to share the knowledge and wisdom of God's Word. As he said, I'm just a nobody trying to tell everybody about somebody who can save anybody. Well, you know my favorite scripture is, my son, attend to my word. Incline thy ears unto thy saying. Let them not depart from thy eyes. Keep them in the midst of thy heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. God's word is life when we find it. It is the medicine we need. No vaccine can compare to that. Nothing that man, the technician, can do that can compare to God's healing power. And not just physically, but emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, financially, relational, all these areas can be healed when we find God's word and we keep it in front of our eyes and we incline our ears to his saying and we continue to let it stay in the midst of our heart. Matter of fact, he tells us to write it on the tablets of our heart. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to do something a little different here. Normally, we do the prayer of salvation at the end, but the Spirit has been putting on my heart that why should I wait to the end to tell you about the good news on how you can be saved? See, in Romans 10:9, it says, if you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised from the dead, thou can be saved. As we go forward into this session today, yes, you want to have salvation as a part of your life. You want to enter into the gate of salvation. So I want to reach out to anyone as I go into prayer that you will open up your heart, open up your mind, have ears to hear, and be willing to see the good news of the gospel. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, we just glorify and magnify your name. We praise your name. We uplift your name. We say hallelujah to your name because, Father God, you gave us your strength. You gave us your breath to give us another opportunity, a golden opportunity to come to you. Father God, I thank you that you continue to work through us by giving us, Father God, all that we need through the Holy Spirit, that he may guide us, he may illuminate your scriptures to us, Father God, that we can see the light that comes from it in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father God, for anyone under the sound of my voice who don't know you, Father God. Father God, let their heart be open today. Turn their heart from stone to flesh. Recognize the importance of you. Oh, yes, Father God, this walk as we go down this road, Father God, each day is not an easy walk. So we're not telling them to come into something that is easy or comfortable, but it's something that is rewarding. It is so rewarding, Father God, it's beyond one's imagination. And like anything, it may take time to get your flow and get your rhythm going. But oh, once you get your rhythm going, you get your pace going, you get that steady flow going, oh, my God, it is so worthy to serve you. So, Father God, I'm praying for those. And for those, Father God, who have been like the prodigal son, I was one of them, Father God, who turned another direction to go take on the world on my own. Father God, I pray for them too. I pray, Father God, right now that they have ears to hear, Father God. They have a mind to understand, Father God, and a heart to, Father God, to understand that the power of you is life-changing. Yes, Father God, it's life-changing. And sometimes we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind, Father God, because we know that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So he wants to get into the battlefield, which is our mind. But, oh, our weaponry, Father God, is not carnal. It's not of this world. But mighty through you, God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Father God, therefore, we can cast our cares upon you because we know that you're there for us, Father God. We know that, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that these things that come up against us in our mind, Father God, these thoughts and imagination try to exalt itself against the knowledge of you. Oh, no, Father God. You've given us the ability of a sound mind to bring these things into the obedience of Christ. I thank you, Father God. So I pray for them now. I pray, Father God, whatever their struggles may be, for we all got struggles. We all got challenges. We all got stresses that come on this physical body. But, oh, Father God, again, your weaponry is so good. Well, all we need to do is rely on the Holy Spirit to connect with our spirit. For the Spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead now quickens our mortal body and now dwells in us. We can turn to the Holy Spirit for this guidance. So I pray for you, Father. I pray, Father God, for them. And as I go forward today, Father God, I ask you, touch everyone's lives in the world, the countries, the states, the cities, the communities, the neighborhoods, the families, the individuals, Father God, those that are born and those that are yet born. Like John the Baptist, Father God, they will jump for joy, Father God, even in the mother's womb to want to know you. I thank you, Father God. I praise you, Father God, that we release this need to be people followers and be followers of Christ. So as I go forward to do the series, Father God, and what you have put upon my heart, I ask you that I, David, decrease and that the Holy Spirit will rise big up in me and bring all things to my remembrance that, Father God, that is praiseworthy of virtue and truth. So, Father God, that all will be able to feel the impact as your word says, Father God, it is life unto them that find it and health to all our flesh. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, thank you, thank you again. Welcome to the Spirit of a Soldier. I am pumped up. I am excited. Let's go right into the quotes. When you have started to compromise yourself or your morals for people around you, it's probably time to change the people around you, what you think. You got enemies? Good. That means you actually stood up for something in your life. See, Jesus had enemies. Matter of fact, they were so enemy, and they were religious leaders, that in the name of Jesus, he still stood up. Oh, so when you have enemies that come your way, hopefully you're standing for something. And say, if you don't stand for something, you fall for anything. There comes a time when you have to stop crossing oceans for people who won't even jump for you over a puddle. And if you live for people's acceptance, you will die from their rejection. And the scripture tells us, in Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work heartily as for the Lord and not for men. And in Galatians 2:20, I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer who I live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. He sent his only begotten Son, that we would die to sin and live unto righteousness. Hallelujah. Proverbs 16:7 says, when a man always pleases the Lord, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. Hallelujah. So for all those who are stressing, and sometimes stress comes mighty hard, the word tells us in Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but at everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And 2 Corinthians 5:9, so whether we are at home or away, we make it our aim to please him. And in Acts 5:29, but Peter, an apostle, answered, we must obey God rather than man. Those are some powerful scriptures. Those are some powerful words. Life unto us as we find them. Have ears to hear. have eyes to see, have a mind to understand, and have a heart to accept the word of God. Hallelujah. So I want to share a story with you about a people pleaser, because that's what our series is about. Are we people pleaser or Christ followers? But this story here starts with a young lady, and she tells the story very beautifully, and I want to share it with you. I found myself locked in the bathroom stall at my corporation fashion job, experienced what I now recognize as a panic attack. My ears felt like someone had stuffed cotton balls in them, and my palms were so sweaty, I couldn't stand to touch them. Everything went black and white, and I felt like I was completely losing control. At the time, I had no idea what I was going through. Immediately, my mind went to the story I'd been told since I was a young age, that I was too emotional, and proceeded to get back to work to finish the job everyone was counting on me to do. It took me about 3 more years to uncover my existing anxiety, worsened by living a life for others. Sound familiar? Up until then, that point, in the bathroom stall, I had entered as some of the best global fashionable brands in the world and committed my entire college career to apparel, merchandising, and the business. I had gone on to live and work in New York City for 4 years in a highly competitive, money-tight fashion industry. She tells us about life as a people pleaser. During my time in New York City, I had itchy patches on my eyes, chronic digestive issues, scaly elbows, and I had an addiction to sodas and Cheetos like no other, drinking only for the weekend, and it was also Thursday and Wednesday, and basically any time was a solid happy hour. At the time of my panic attack, I had been single for a few months after breaking up with my boyfriend that could be deemed emotionally unsuitable for me. Someone had made me doubt my self-worth, convincing me that I would be a better person if I started to go to the gym and reduce my meaty thighs. Little did he know, going to the gym committing time to myself is what ultimately allowed me to become a recovering people pleaser. So I do thank him for that. A few months of working out with my personal trainer, my self-confidence began to grow. I started to value the little moments of self-care, and I could give a gift to myself. Lunches away from my desk, eating more vegetables, less sugar, figuring out what the heck I really wanted to do with my life. My sacred time at gym became more of a ritual than going to the happy hour or indulging in yet the pint of ice cream I ate every night. This realization didn't happen overnight. It took another year to discover that I was a chronic people pleaser, someone too scared to say no, and also too quick to say yes. I'm sure we all know somebody like that. Over the 10 years of my life, I had lost touch with who I was and what I wanted. We get engulfed in other people's ideals, dreams, ambitions, wants, and desires. As it turns out, I was always quick to stick to the plan I thought I had to follow and too scared to question my path along the way. Many people get off their own path. The path, the plan that God designed. Remember he said, I have a plan for you. Not Bob, not Joe, not your husband, not your wife, not your kids. I have a plan for you. But she says she was too scared. Some of us have been there. And at the height of my people-pleasing, I was missing all the signs my body was trying to give me. I now recognize these as attempts to tell me where I was getting lost and where my boundaries needed to be strengthened. The stomach ache, the sleepless nights were piling on top of each other and becoming my new norm. My new norm. They became her new norm. In other words, they become unconscious, like driving the car. When you first get in the car, you're anxious and you're worried, but after a while, when you get good at it, it becomes unconscious. Sometimes people said they fell asleep, the car drove them home. You don't even have to think about it. This people-pleasing behavior, she'd have to think about. It became her new norm. She didn't listen. Ignoring all the signs, I pushed through and continued to be the coordinated Carly, the one that helps everyone with everything, no questions asked. Saving the day made me feel so good, but only for a short amount of time, just like a drug. See, again, addiction, no matter what kind of addiction you got, it kicks out the same dopamines and endorphins and all the serotonins and all the things that still draw you in. The body is just responding. It's just the outward activity that we see. I had lost all my self-respect for myself when it came to my relationships, and as I was too scared then come crumbling down if I pushed back or voiced my opinion in any way, when all you have now is just being a people pleaser. You see, the funny thing, most people pleasers are so used to being people pleasers and catering to the needs of others, they forget what they truly want. Over time, you might lose touch with the authentic value and find communicating your needs as a people pleaser as almost near impossible. People pleasers generally is a vicious cycle of seeking affirmation and positive feedback from those around you, which we receive by obliging their wishes. And after living that life for months, you might find yourself harboring resentment for those you have been so quick to help in the past. See, this is not an isolated incident. This is not the onesie twosies. This is millions of people doing this. But I'm going to give you a history of that. You might even convince yourself they're the inconsiderate one and cannot understand how other people can be so rude. And as hard as it is to hear, in most cases, it's not the other person's fault, but your unhappiness. It all comes back to the common people-pleasing behavior and lack of communication, low self-esteem, fear of rejection, and the cycle just goes on. And if this resonates with you, it's important to remember that you are worthy of happiness. And saying no to things that do not bring you joy doesn't make you a terrible person. Remember what your values are and reassessing what you prioritize as important. So what's the moral story? We can see that there are countless of people with stories like this young lady, men, women from all walks of life, status, position, that spend a life trying to please people, living for people's acceptance, compromising themselves, their values, principles, and spiritual growth. It's like a subconscious drug. You can't see it, but it's controlling your every existence. There is hope in our Lord by renewing our mind. Remember, bringing down all those strongholds and casting down those imaginations and thoughts that try to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Until we begin to develop our heart and mind in line with Christ, we walk in the hope and trust in the future of God's promises. Because Jeremiah confirms that. And again, Jesus always said, it is written. So let's recap the show, and we're going to try to bring closure to it. I hope the good Lord guides me through. All right, I want to bring this series to a close, as I mentioned, you know, because I think that you'll have enough wealth through the archives to be able to go back and listen and pull if you find this to be interesting or relevant. It may not be you, but again, it ain't always about you or me. It's about somebody else. See, when Christ came, he came not for him. Oh, he had it made in the shade. When he gave us the Holy Spirit, you know, he didn't give us the Holy Spirit for him or the Holy Spirit. They had it made in the shade. So somebody needs this message. Somebody needs to hear how to make that change, as Michael Jackson used to say. Started with the man in the mirror, but we move forward. So why is this subject so real? Because there are people out there walking around in quiet desperation and unhappiness because they are trying to be people pleasers, which is preventing us, and most of us have been there at some point in our time, from being true followers of Christ. So I've learned through my own journey that if we continue to be people pleasing or try to please man, we come up short in being a follower and a pleaser of Christ. So what caused us to be people pleasers? See, research presents that some of the issues we see today in our society stems from those who are people pleasers that have allowed it to escalate to a major dysfunction in behavior. So let's take a moment to look at the background of a people pleaser. And again, I'm presenting this up because it's more prevalent than we want to give credit to. The problem is a part of what's harming our world today. So what makes a people pleaser? How do they learn these behaviors? People-pleasing behaviors evolve as a way of maintaining connection and closeness with their parents who are inconsistently unavailable to the children. See, the lack of parent consistency is a big part of what causes people-pleasing behavior. See, the scripture tells us He gives us specific instructions as parents on how we should raise our children. Ephesians 6:4 tells us, Father, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and instructions of the Lord. See, there are several ways parents might provoke their children to anger. Some parents set impossible standards so the children's despair of even achieving them is unrealistic. Some parents tease, ridicule, humiliate their children as a means of punishment, which does nothing but provoke them to anger. So all this angry behavior, remember, always ask the question, who raising the kids? See, we look at the people, and sometimes when I'm riding, I see people on the street, whatever their status may be, I often ask, what was their background? What was their story? Who raised them? Or were they raised? You know, there was a series called 2020, and on 2020, they had found a girl in the woods, and I think it was a wolf, but I can't totally sure about the actual animal. But anyway, this child, who now was an adult, behaved like the animal. So who raised the children? See, so if we can provoke, inconsistency can also provoke a child to anger. And see what happens is the consequence of that action causes hypocrisy. And that hypocrisy caused the child to end up behaving opposite of what that child potentially could have been. And see, many times parents or people please are too worried about their own troubles to tune in to what their children are feeling and thinking. Or they may frequently mislabel or misinterpret their children's signals and feelings. So people-pleasing parents are often in a state of emotion overwhelming, leading their children to treat them carefully as if they were fragile. Sometimes these people-pleasing children act more like the adult in relationship and take on the caregiving role towards their own parents. We've seen this. If we've lived long enough, we've seen this. And in the end, the parents struggle to be emotionally connected and available to their children in a consistent way. But the child picks up on this and moves to protect their parents and their feelings so the child can remain connected, further complicating the picture. These pained parents can also be warm and loving. This is the part that becomes confusing for the people pleasers. You see, as they have memories of warmth and connection with their parents, so how could the relationship with these same parents also be what causes people pleasing? Because of their preoccupation, the parent would blow out hot and cold. The word tells us not, you know, be flip-flop, basically being lukewarm. So one moment they might be affectionate and loving, the next distant, absent, and worried. This is where confusion comes for the child. Whether it's due to personal illness, addiction, the impact of their own upbringing or mental health, or just bad life circumstances, parents or people pleasers are often preoccupied with their own lives. Get consumed. This is why you see the grandparents are raising the children. See, the grandparents are supposed to be able to pick them up, enjoy them, and drop them off. Oh, but they don't drop them off. They stay there. While the parent of the child drops them off and takes off. Children get entangled with the memories of their past and often worry about their future. This style of relating to themselves and the world often gets passed onto their children, who then become worried and preoccupied too. You see, we have to look at what perpetuates the problem. You know, when we see problems, I always like to say, people always talk about the forest fire, but who struck the match? See, the fire just didn't pop up. Now, sometimes nature does its thing, but for the most part, who struck the match? Who struck the match? So early on in the people pleaser, over time the people pleasing child learns that their parents are unreliable. So you drop them off at the daycare. You drop them off at grandma. You drop them off at your girlfriend's house. You drop them off at your partner's house. You drop them off, and they can't get consistency. Or the father gets visitation, but when he picks them up, the kids are in there playing video games while he's still hanging out with his boys. Unreliable. But they cannot stop depending on them, and they long for the closeness, consistent connection. And at some level, they know that they have to sink or swim depending on their parents' own well-being. So they may get good at supporting up parents emotionally. They will be they will be tracking their moves and checking in frequently, striving to make the parents proud, muffing their own needs, doing their best to be very good and not rock the boat. And so they begin to practice their people-pleasing skills. Ain't that something? They start to practice their people-pleasing skills. Oh, Satan good. Satan is good. He getting you off the square. See, he is showing that you don't even follow pattern to the gifts and talents that God put in you. He gets you off the square. So you not practice people-pleasing skills. Isn't that what Eve did? Did she not please Satan again versus following God? And did not Adam please Eve versus following God? People-pleasing skills. But eventually, it gets to be too much. And these usually good children can act out in an unpredictable and surprising way when things become overwhelming. It's almost like that movie Falling Down with Michael Douglas. It just gets bad. It just gets bad. And people just break. And again, what we may see in many ways in this society with all the insurrections and crimes and abuse stems from a possibility of people-pleasing conditioning. So you need children to feel a deep sense of shame about this collapse, and they go back into a careful hiding trying to be good. And the cycle repeats itself. And in some cases, children can adapt very differently. They may act out and rebel against their parents, depending on the child and the circumstances. So what causes people please to take root? Parental emotional inconsistency is what causes people please. The child not knowing how else to secure and maintain love and connection. Remember, I always talk about love. See, if the parent is showing love, they're not displaying that self-seeking behavior. That goes back to the mother of the woman of Proverbs 31, the virtuous woman, always taking care of her children with check and balance, the right way, her community, and her husband. You see? So they live out their parents' dreams. We've seen that in the movies, where the high-end son, where the high-end father, the lawyer, you know, wants his son to be a lawyer. He wants his daughter to be a doctor. So they adopt into their parents' values in order to remain in good grace. Here's where you might see the individual who strives to become the high-achieving perfectionist. The high-achieving perfectionist. And you know, some people are bold. They take pride in it. I used to say that. I'm a perfectionist. I got to get it right. It's got to be right. Perfection, an illusion that Satan creates. So they become less interested in exploring what they are and more interested in learning about what others want them to be. Because transforming oneself, being nice, will be a way one can finally secure love for good. Or so they think so. This is what makes people pleasing. The trouble is that the parent's behavior usually has less to do with the child is doing and more of what is going on in the parent's life. Still, in order to have some sense of control, the child will locate a cause of their parent's happiness or unhappiness and firmly within themselves. Place it within themselves. For which they carry this set of standards into their adult relationship, seeking to please others and keep them happy so that they can experience some sense of happiness as well. You see, everyone has a story. So as we see others and maybe even ourselves, we have to investigate the etiology of the individual's background and training to better understand the cause why people think, say, and do these various things we see in life today. I want you to take a moment to think for a second. I'm going to take you back in the Word. I'm going to show you a person who had power, who thought they were in control, who thought they possessed the power of everything. But did he? This guy is Pontius Pilate. He was a people pleaser. Can you imagine that? You are familiar with the fateful event when Jesus was betrayed by Judas Iscariot into the hands of the Jewish leaders. You remember how he was dragged before the high priest, Caiaphas, I may be pronouncing his name wrong. But anyway, you'll know who he is. The next morning, these same religious leaders placed Jesus before Pilate, the procurator of Judea, the official political representative of Rome. They made accusations against Jesus, enduring to turn the Roman ruler against him. Pilate was true in his observation of human personality. He saw these religious men were up, what they were up to. He spotted their jealousy. See, again, not walking in love. Now, here they were religious leaders. They were the leaders that was basically creating disciples, and they were the leaders who was leading the people in a spiritual walk. Yet they harbored not love, as God would have it, because there was jealousy and envy against Jesus. Yet they'll move forward. But yet they wanted to crucify him. Mark describes his insightfulness with these words: for he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priest had handed him over. Mark 15:10. Therefore, as a clever politician, Pilate found a way to have the innocent Jesus released. You are familiar with his attempt. There was an insurrectionary named Barabbas. This man was a murderer. Pilate apparently thought that the people would rather have Jesus released than this individual who could only bring trouble to an already disturbed society. People, right? People, please. However, so determined to crucify Jesus with the chief priests that they mingled among the masses, stirred up the crowd for the release of Barabbas and instead of Jesus. Pilate, drawing back in surprise, released Barabbas and asked, "Then what do you wish me to do with this man you call the King of the Jews?" Mark 15:12. The crowd cried out, "Crucify him!" Pilate asked, "Why? What evil has he done?" But they cried out more and more, "Crucify him!" See, people flip script on your heartbeat. They flip script in a minute. This is why I say there's a hypocrisy among man. Why? Because man is in flesh. See, we're our spirit housed in a body, possessing a soul, the mind, will, and emotion. And people's mind will cause their will to turn against you in a heartbeat. Jesus didn't do nothing. That is why it is so amazing when I start off with the prayer accepting Christ, because what Christ was about wasn't about himself. In the ideal agape love, he's not self-seeking. And he understands what man is about. So Jesus will continue to render kindness and goodness and gentleness. He rejoices in the truth and not in evil doing. Yet man will flip the script on your heartbeat. But Pilate was in a jam. In his heart, he saw Jesus as innocent. With his internal galoscope, if you will, he tried to balance out all of the competitive pressure on him. He wanted to please the Roman superior, people pleasing, including Emperor Rome, people pleasing. He wanted to be sensitive to the legitimate followers of Jesus, people pleasing, who seemed to be reasonably benign and certainly not a part of a connected group of people in this situation. He wanted to be fair to his own conscience, self-pleasing. He wanted to at least acknowledge his wife warning, wife-pleasing. It is because you listen to the wife, God said to Adam, recorded by Matthew. There's no crime in listening to your wife, but there's a time and a place. She has said, "Having nothing to do with this innocent man for a day, I have suffered a great deal because of the dreams about him." Now, see, she had insight. But Pilate didn't listen thoroughly. He didn't listen thoroughly. At this point that we see the basic weakness of the personality of Pilate. Matthew tells us, so when Pilate saw that he could do nothing, but rather that a riot was beginning, he took some water, washed his hand before the crowd, and said, "I am innocent of this man's blood. See to it yourself." Matthew 27:24. Then comes the historical record, Mark, who writes, so Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them after flogging Jesus. Now he got beat for nothing. Flogged Jesus, 39 stripes. He was handed over to be crucified, Mark 15:15. You see, people-pleasers' opinion change depending on whom they are talking to because their lack of confidence in their own belief, yet they have come to some condition to want to be approved by others. They are insightful enough not to alienate the one they need approval from by adopting the opposite views. You know, it's funny when I would look at some of the film and I would see the paupers, the people that had nothing, in cahoots with the people who are the oppressors. Interesting. But don't we see that today? We follow people who could even be our oppressors. They call it the Stockholm Syndrome. The criminal comes and kidnaps you. This is what happened to Patty Hearst. Come and kidnap, next thing you know, she is collaborating with the oppressor. Interesting. But here was a crowd pleaser, a man who wanted to defend his own position, power, prestige, and popularity. People pleasing, please himself. He was so certain of Jesus' innocence, he felt he had to wash his hands of the guilt pertaining to the shedding of innocent blood. But that blood is what saves us. Hallelujah. That blood is what heals us. And at the same time, allow Barabbas to be released and Jesus to be delivered for the whipping and crucifixion. His motivation is summarized in the word wishing to satisfy the crowd, translated to a modern parlance that means desire to please the crowd. So you know my theme scripture for this is out of Galatians 1:10 that tells us, I'm now trying to win the approval of human beings or God. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or God? Or am I trying to be a people pleaser? And if I'm still trying to please people, I will not be a servant of Christ. Hallelujah. See, Ephesians tells us in Ephesians 6:7, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord and not people. Listen, we are presenting some, if you know in some course or some time in your life you have presented some of these signs and greater mention, then you might want to ask the question, are you displaying behaviors of a pleaser? And if so, that means you're not reaching your fullest potential to be a true pleaser and follower of Christ. So if you have a hard time saying no because you feel guilty or too worried about the other people's feelings, you might want to consider, are you a people pleaser? Are you so quick to say yes when sometimes find it hard to follow through with everything you have committed to? Sometimes, and I'm notorious for that. I will commit to something, and I will, because I have to honor it, because I'm a soldier, my integrity is important, I push and I push till I can't push no more. So I'll try to be everywhere at all places. Foolishness. But I try. You see, this is what happens when you're trying to be a people pleaser. Thank God for me personally that I'm now a little more stronger in being a follower for Christ so I can let people know I ain't going to be able to do it. This is what's going on. I can't do it. So now I don't ride on the guilt wave that I used to. Oh, my God, I let them down. I disappoint them. What are they going to think of me? I'm letting them down. I'm not a good follower. I make commitments and I can't follow through. Jesus tells us in the Word it's better not to make a promise. He can't fulfill it. But I had to learn this. See, this is a process, people. White lies have been used to help you get out of obligations you overcommit to. You know, he killed me with this white lie. Yeah, well, I ain't going to go there. I better not say that. but at any rate, you know, lie is a lie. That's the bottom line. Sorry is a common word you use in your vocabulary. I do that often. With sincerity. Because I do not want to let people down. See, me and my mother talked about this the other day. I want everybody to be happy. Everybody. Even as a little boy, I want everybody to be happy. I go out there and hustle my little money and get bottles, dig ditches. I mean, I ain't talking about when I'm 15. I'm talking about when I'm 6 and 7. I'm doing what I got to do, get that hustle on. Get the little money, go to school, and I'm giving out all my candy. And if I got some change in my pocket, I can give that away too. You see, it starts early. Now, I was fortunate to have a parent that was there for me. But this is just my makeup. Some things are just innate. I just want everybody to be happy. So you find it hard to accept help or compliments. I was notorious for this. Oh, you this, you that. And I still got a little bit because Elder QT and Pastor Prophet Teresa always trying to give me compliments or let me know. But I'm getting better at it. I'm getting better at it. You know, but struggle because I didn't want to think too high of myself. It's more important that you be lifted. Rescuing people at work and in a relationship gives you a sense of purpose and validation, but often leaves you feeling burnt out and exhausted, pushed to the nine. A colonel told me one time, dude, they say you don't go home. You work from sun up to sundown. What's up with that? I said, I love my job. I convinced myself that, and I love being a soldier. I love being a soldier. Not the sad side of the house. But the motivating, the encouraging, the teaching, the supporting, the mentoring, I love being so. And I met people from all walks of life. I've sat before generals and consul generals of major rank because they had to come my way. I run medical units. and I will take my advice. I love that. It was a passion for me to see a person walk in beat down, as they would say on Andy Griffith, beat to the socks. But yet, still, I was pushing myself to the wire. And I still push. Somebody asked me, my friend asked me the other day, you're the busiest retired man I ever met. But I feel like I got to do it, but I got to get a check and balance. So this is a process, people. And I like to share things about me because, see, I don't know you. I know me. I know me inside and out. But I'm not ashamed of sharing because I'm growing. And as I'm growing, I'm releasing. You can't heal what you don't reveal. See, I'm growing. See, people put out, they say, oh, yeah, go praise the Lord. Oh, do this. Yeah, just believe God. Do this and do that. Okay, how that work? What that look like? And did you have to go through that? What you been through? See, if I know you've been through it, then I don't feel so isolated. And for whatever reason our human conceit think that we're the only one, I don't think so. There's nothing new under the sun. That's an idea. If you have a hard time communicating what you truly want or need to be entirely happy. That was my relationships with women. It's all about pleasing them. Because as a young man, I had an uncle who was a pimp. He induced me to a prostitute, and this woman told me to please women. I was 13. See, again, you can't give what you don't know. My uncles and all those men that I affiliated with, because, again, I mentioned that I rode rodeo. So I was with adults all the time. And so they would be 27, 30, give or take. Few, not that old, but they were adults. And then they were young enough to be troubled. See, they still had their youth. They wasn't my age. They weren't in their 60s and 70s. They still were vibrant, and they were still out there finger-popping and girl-chasing and every ill, everything that you could think of, I probably was exposed to. So I got a very colorful background. I'm not one that tells, now mind you, I'm educated too. So I will hold 5 degrees. I never was into the degree aspect. I always said that was just for me to have keys on my ring. What I needed to know was let me experience it. Now God is good with fools. And I remember a song by Peabo Pryson, but it was a saying, I guess he must have made a song up. He say, a fool rush in anywhere that a wise man will never go, but a wise man will never know what a fool already knows. See, I've been a fool, but as the song say, it takes a fool to learn. So I've learned a lot. I've learned a lot. And a fool sometimes is just human conceit. It's not that he's gullible. Sometimes it's just human conceit. But in a lot of ways, because of my age, it was gullibility. So I learned a lot. But in the same time, I was trying to please everybody. So fast forward, here I am today. Here I am today. And I love how God's plan always worked out. Because I went to go please somebody, how I met Pastor Prophet Teresa and Elder QT. I went to go please my sister. I didn't have no need to be there. And out of that, I'm here today. So God's plan, remember, I have a plan for your life, plan for you to prosper, not for harm, a plan to give you hope and a future. As forward 3 years later, here I am. See, God's plan is different than ours, and we should not lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways acknowledge him, all our ways, but it takes time. See, Proverbs tells us in 30:15-16, there are two things that are never satisfied, like at least forever craving more. No, three things. No, four. Hell, the barren womb, and the barren desert, and fire. And as I mentioned in the last session, like the least forever craving more, we can never satisfy man. Because of the fall of man that produced our sin nature, we are forever desiring more. See, the Buddha said, wants and desire create pain and suffering. Most of the pain and suffering that we experience, all the things that we see, it's not God raining down hell. It's not God taking, when you do something wrong, you lie, like he did Ananias and I think her name was Claudia, and they lied because they said they had given all they had when they held something back. And Peter said, why you lie? You're not lying to us. You can fool us, but you can't fool God. God dropped them dead. God don't do that now. He's not by what we can see. God don't bring down all the, if you will, all the negative things to wipe us out. God is patient with us. This is the true love that I'm talking about. This is why we got to move from being people-pleasers to God-pleasers. Therefore, if we don't adjust these wants and desires to be people-pleasers, we can begin to see this chronic negative perception of who we see in the mirror, where it becomes, it begins to manifest psychological, emotional, physical, and even spiritual negative ramifications that impacts our homes, our jobs, our communities, the churches, everything. You see, people, no man can serve two masters. Either you hate the one and you love the other, or you would be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You see, this can take a toll on the most kindest, generous people, cause them to begin to talk to themselves about what they should be doing and what can they do in the future, build up emotions of such anger and resentment and physical exhaustion, and all these reactions manifest in people's behavior due to people pleasing. You know, a lot of times people join gangs because they're trying to please their partner. The girls end up with a guy that they know ain't no good because they're trying to please him. The guy ends up spending more money than he can afford trying to perpetrate because he's trying to please her. You know, out there in the game, major reason why we slanging like that in the day was because we're trying to please the girl. Got to get the ride. Got to get the vines. Got to get the look. So now they don't dress like we dressed back in the day. They got the finest gym shoes. The gym shoes cost more than the gators. People pleasing. So it comes in all kinds of forms, but that's what Satan do. That's what Satan do. But the word tells us in Romans 2:12, do not be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That by testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. See, God, as I'm learning every day, and believe me, people, I miss it every day. Every day I do some knucklehead behavior. It may not be no big deal to man, but to me, it's not where I want to be. It's not where I want to be. See, I'm not going to stand before you perpetrator that I am sinless, or I don't carry out a sin, or I don't make a decision to sin. See, I'm not the one to believe in mistakes. Mistakes is walking around, as I always say, walking around and you trip over acorn. You turn around and knock a glass off. You didn't know. But when you driving in your car and now you give somebody the bird or you go off on your child, he say, be angry, but sin not. You know when you run in your mouth that you sinning, especially for those that walking in Christ. So we make decisions. We choose, then we make a decision. Because we can walk away. If your child is upsetting you that bad before you go upside their head, you just walk away. If your wife has upset you to the point where you beat her down, before you beat her down, you walk away. But oh no. And I've talked to enough pastors to know who are in counseling. I myself in counseling know there's a whole lot of beat down in the Christian community in many ways, emotionally, physically, psychologically, spiritually, beat downs. So people, we got to get our mind renewed. So here's some self-care I want to present to you as we move towards the closure. Some strategies to stop people pleasing. Stop. Think. There's a song say, stop, look, listen to your heart and what it say. There, you got to stop, look, and listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit before you say yes. Before you say yes. Let go of what you can't control. You know, people say they're in control. If you was in control, there'd be no paupers. There'd be no poor people. There'd be no homeless. There'd be no ills. Matter of fact, the virus wouldn't be around. See, we was in control. That's an illusion Satan created. But we got to stop acting, thinking that we got to be in control of everything. And just realize we can only control so much. I'll use that statement. Take your time. If someone asks a favor for you, take time to think about it. Or check your schedule. That's what I try to say to people now. Let me check. Even with my own son, and my son can play me like a violin. My daughter can play me like a whole band. But at the end of the day, I'm learning to, no, I can't do that. Even to go see my daughter. Because sometimes requests come at me that just take me out. And I just recently, my daughter's mother had come visit. She's never been here. She's here where our father lives. So when I said, well, you know, I got to leave a little early because, you know, it ain't going. You know, if people who travel or drive, it ain't going. It's the traveling back. I don't know how many times I almost fell asleep under the wheel, but the angels, that's why I pray for them. They protect me. So you see, you got to know when to say no. Be fair. Am I being fair to myself and others in life? If I say yes, are you being fair to yourself or them? Next, don't over-apologize. If you can't make a commitment or you have said a simple no, let it be so. And if you just say, I'm sorry, that is fine. Let your yay and your nay be so. Hallelujah. Start small. Limit your ability to help. Set a small limit or ask for assistance on small things. Don't try to do it all. Next, forget the fear. If others get mad because you say no occasionally, they are not the people you should be surrounding yourself with anyway. See, love is not self-seeking. I said that today in our Bible study. See, I don't care where you go. No one, now this I can stand with a certainty. I'm no scholar. You see, I struggle sometimes pronouncing people's names. But at the end of the day, I know this about 1 Corinthians 13. No matter where you go, no matter where you open up in that Bible, no matter what behavior or attitude it is you present to me, I can come back and use love as my baseline. I can challenge the best of the best. That I can say, not with arrogance, not cockiness, but love is the key. See, so when we know that somebody cares about us and loves us, they understand. They always say, I don't judge to criticize, I just understand. I try to understand your background. I ain't trying to criticize you. But if you love me, you understand me. We work together, iron sharpens iron. Next, remember you are not responsible for other people's emotions. I love this because I'm notorious for talking about emotional blackmailers. There are a lot of people who are emotional. They love guilting you into something, try to make you feel bad, make you feel guilty. Never check themselves. I spoke about that today. I said, you ever notice when people are telling you about something, they never talk about themselves? Case in point, I said, I gave a simple example. I said, think about it. So you're riding on the road, and you come back and tell everybody, you know somebody tried to cut me off on the road, them busters. I wanted to tell them, but so-and-so. These people, I don't know what to do. These people be on their phone, and they be talking, and they don't be paying attention. Until your day show up. Now, you driving along, and all of a sudden, now you got your phone, and it'll, and this thing, you know, you reach over, and you almost run somebody off the road, but you don't go off on yourself. You don't go cussing yourself out. You don't give yourself the bird. You don't do all these things. See, we got to self-examine ourselves. That's why I say some people look in the mirror and forget what they look like. They forget the image. They forgot they do the same thing. Human behavior is human behavior. And next, stop being easily manipulated. Don't let people play you. Go to the Holy Spirit and ask for guidance. And last but not least, stay true to your values. You need to know what your values are, what you stand for. What you stand for. See, the army, we got 7 of them, and we stand strong. And if we stay here, I tell myself, if you stay true to these values, you'll have a pretty good career. I had a pretty good career. I got reprimanded once when I first went in the army and even was able to get out of that with logic. Because on one end, I did make a request, and the leading soldier didn't honor the request. So it put me in a position, I was like Peter. I couldn't stay up an hour. What, boy, you can't stay up an hour? I was dozing off. But again, I was burning the candle on both ends. I was in the military, and I'm going to college at the same time. Requested to come off night duty, but he wouldn't take me off. Just me. So I told the star, I said, well, haven't you ever, you know, I was sitting in the day room there. I said, have you ever said you're going to watch this movie and the movie watching you? That line right there saved my hide. That's because God was looking out for the fool, you see. So, again, we have to stay true to our own values. And then in Joshua, I'll close on this. Joshua 24:14 says, choose this day who you will serve. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and for faithfulness. Put away the gods that your father served beyond the rivers in Egypt and serve the Lord. And if it is evil in your eyes to serve the Lord, choose this day who you will serve, whether the gods of your father served in the region beyond the river or in the gods of the Amorites and whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we serve the Lord. Hallelujah. So let's move on to the soldier's perspective as we close out on that. So often as people, we seek to be valued, appreciated, liked, and loved. And for all practical purposes, there is no crime in that thought process. But when you find yourself moving from function and being used as an instrument of God, for being functional and being used as an instrument of God, to becoming a pawn for the devil, you need to check yourself before Satan calls you to wreck yourself. So here's four beautiful points I want to bring from Tony Evans. He suggests we might want to consider. You are a masterpiece, for which you possess four characteristics of being God's masterpiece. First, one, you are rare. There's no one like you. In order to be rare, it can't be many of them. And in this case, there's only you. Two, you are special. To the point that if there wasn't anyone else on this planet, God still would have sent his son to die for you. Now, that's special. That's special. God would have still sent his son to die for you. Three, you are valuable because of the times when something valuable, when something is valuable, there's a high price that has to be paid for it. Christ paid that price for our lives with his life. Can't get no more special than that. Can't get no more valuable than that. And four, as a masterpiece, it's created using names of creation. For the artist ascribes their name to the creation, reflecting his meaning and his purpose. We have a name and a purpose, and our existence encompasses the divine reason for our purpose. See, God not only named us, but he knows us. And because of this, we can embrace that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous in his work, and that our soul knows him very well. Psalms 139:14. So embrace that you are a masterpiece. Let us strive daily to please the Creator, not the creation, but love the creation that our God has made. Let's be God pleasers and followers of Christ for the rest of our life. And again, I open up with the salvation prayer. I'm going to close out because ain't nothing on this planet that I've learned. There's a lot of things that I like and a lot of things I enjoy, but there's nothing greater than the relationship with God. Now, my humanness, as Jesus said in the garden, my spirit is willing, but my flesh is weak. So I like to make it where it's doable for people. You're going to fall. You're going to make bad decisions. But see, he gave us that provision to say, you know, we confess our sin. He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But you can't get that approval. You can't get that forgiveness unless you accept it. So again, out of Romans 10:9, again, declare with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ died for you and you could be saved. Put away your past life. But again, this takes time. You're not going to magically turn into this woo kind of being. You're not going to be like Christ and just purify. But the purifying can happen. I like to say it's just like running water, this purified water running into the poison of a goblet. And they mix and they merge. That's what happens to us. But as that purified water keep running, as Jesus said, when you drink of me, you don't thirst no more. As it keeps running, keep running, and it starts to get an overflow, the poison starts coming out. Hallelujah. And the purified water takes over. So this is what we want to look for. So accept Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, and accept him in this water. Let old things be passed away and all things become new. In Jesus' name, amen. Again, there are a lot of dynamic ministers and bishops and teachers and preachers and prophets on here. So I want you to check in the Kingdom Builder Development Institute. And if you need to write for a prayer request, write into KingdomBuilderPlaza@gmail.com. You need to make a contact with the office. Contact us at 313-583-9739. And please give unto the ministry at www.givify.com, givily.com. And as always, thank you for taking the time out of your day to listen to what the Spirit had to say. And as always, if you pray for me, I pray for you, and let's watch and see the great things God would do. Love you. Take care. God bless you. Thank you.
You can count on what he said. Thank you, Father. worthy.